Today's presenter is Ai Choi, Rita Wu, and Saraz Kumar. I joined the Webster Partner Gateway U.S. L2 support team since November 2006. He brought experience from AIX and LAN server technical support along with AIX IBM Director and storage area network testing. He is certified as an AIX Systems Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP, Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. Rita joined the Webster Partner Gateway Level 2 support team in February 2006. Rita provides technical support to the Asia Pacific region and worldwide customers. She also has extensive testing experience in Webster Business Integration, Server Foundation, and the Webster family. Saraz joined the Webster Partner Gateway L3 support team in September 2004 as a technical lead. He brought WPG development expertise from previous release to the L3 team. He is a Sun-certified Java programmer. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to I, Rita, and Saraz.
Good day, everyone. This is Ai Bujo. Before we start the presentation, I would like to take a moment to explain why we put this presentation together. After talking to some new customers who contacted the support center for help, we realized many of the problem determination tools put out by IBM have not been fully utilized or understood. We hope this presentation can give you a jump start in being more proficient with the Webster Partner Gateway problem determination tool. The discussion of the selected list of known problems is to help you to get around some known scenarios. On slide number one, this presentation provides an overview to users for doing problem determination on Webster Partner Gateway version 6.1. The presentation agenda will highlight a suite of problem determination tools available to users. The login managing and enablement will be discussed with a selected list of known problems at the end. Slide number three. First, we will present a suite of problem determination tools available to users. On slide number four, you can see IBM has provided a rich suite of Webster Partner Gateway problem determination tools. Tools on the web available include TechNode, Flash, InfoCenter, Form, Fixed Download, APAR Search in README file, IBM Education Assistant, IBM Support Assistant plugin, IBM Assist on Site, eSupport, and Must Gather List. Tools in pipeline are WPG User Pound and Fix Central. We'll be giving more details about those tools in the next six slides. Slide number five. To begin doing problem determination by yourself, from internet, your search engine, you type in IBM support to get to IBM support site. Next, from IBM support site, choose troubleshoot and select Webster Partner Gateway. It will take you to a screen output that looks like page number six. You will get to WPG support page. And this is one of the most important pages for do-it-yourself problem determination. On this page, you can see a whole selection of tools for you to gain product knowledge, to obtain up-to-date code level, to research known problems and usage tips, and also to diagnose problems. We're going to move on to slide number seven. Specifically, from the previous page, Flash is to monitor various WPG announcements. This includes pervasive problems and webcast invitations. Form is a channel for WPT users to exchange knowledge and usage experience with other users. WPG Form is monitored by WPG Development. Techno is one of the most valuable tools when it comes to problem determination, because those documents contain tips and answers to known problems. They are written and compiled by your WPG support staff. Info Center. This is one of the most important tools you have as a user. The information is provided by WPG Development and written up by information developers. I'm going to reveal some trade secrets from the support center here about Info Center. Very often, when you call in to get assistance, guidance on WPG, your IBM support experts use the same tool to research problem too. So please put this tool to work for you. This is a very useful tool. IBM Education Assistant is a collection of free online education. While it is not intended to replace traditional delivery of education, it does contain an excellent, excellent collection of lectures that can greatly enhance your understanding and usage of the product. Fix Download offers all available Fix Packs with README, so users can be up to date in code fixes, and the README gives a complete listing of what has been fixed by Fix Pack level. Users can search known problems through Fix Pack README. The last one on this page is IBM Support Assistant plugin. This has a plugin to guide you in diagnosing the problem. On slide number 8, we have 3 things on this page. Must gather list. You can get to the must gather list by searching the tech notes. You just type in must gather and it will show you the must gather document. This list gives all the technical information required when you report problems to IBM Support Center. It lists step-by-step procedure in collecting logs and setting up trace. By reviewing the data collected, sometimes users are able to fix usage problems themselves. Just a few days ago, I was talking to a customer with error he was getting on the screen, and I guide him to the must-gather list and communicated with him about what will be needed for us to work with him at IBM, and we list out the logs and how to enable them and what to look for. And automatically, he contacted me in 2 hours saying while he was collecting those information for us, he had identified the problems. You are at the driver's seat because you experience the problem and it's your environment. You know the environment better than anyone else. That's why I want to list must-gather list as one of the tools you have, because before you submit the data to us, if you just browse through the data, it's very possible that you will be able to identify the cause of the problem and maybe even resolve it. The next tool is eSupport ESR tool. This is an electronic problem report tool to allow users to report problems electronically without calling in or staying on hold. This has been proven to be time efficient to many customers. For details of how to use this tool to report problems to IBM, there's a more detailed presentation. Please view the presentation on the eSupport link listed on this slide. And I know our moderator had mentioned this already, but I just want to mention this presentation has been recorded, so if at any point you are not able to jot down the notes from the slide, in 2 to 3 days, IBM will make the presentation available to you to replay with the slides. So you can just kind of relax now and just enjoy the lecture, the presentation, without taking notes, because later on you're going to have a chance to review the slides again. The last one on this page, we have Assist on Site. This is a plugin that allows IBM support staff to view your screen while doing some remote debugging. The join section allows better understanding of the problem symptoms and shorten the required time to provide problem resolution. In the next two pages, slide number 9 and 10, I would like to introduce you to two tools we have in the pipeline for you. The first one is WPG User Pal. This tool is a knowledge base, knowledge database with search engine to allow easy access to problem resolution. Resolutions were input by IBM Skill support staff. This tool is like a collection of error scenarios with resolutions. The availability date of this tool is to be determined. Slide number 10. The second tool in the pipeline is Fix Central. This is a corporate direction for IBM on fixed storage. WPG will deposit all the available fix packs and individual fixes to Fix Central location. Fix Central location will also have fix packs for other IBM products. The URL for Fix Central is listed on this slide. WPG is working to transfer fixes to this location, and we plan to have it implemented by year 2008 timeframe. That concludes my discussion, my presentation on the tools. Slide number 11. Next, we will discuss WPG login managing and enablement. On slide 12, you can see there are two types of login in WPG: install login and runtime login. WPG version 6.1 uses a login API supported by WASP instead of the Log4j API as used in version 6.0. Login configuration is done using the WASP Administrative Console. On slide number 13, we have a table for you. The table specifies the installation log file locations. Those are files generated during the installation. They are separate from the runtime log files when the WPG server are started. If the install fails, look at the temporary files in addition to the final installation files. Sometimes the problem may be logged in the temporary file, since they are created before the final log file. The log is appended to the file, rather than creating new files on every installation. The application and message, the application and messaging database installation log files are available only in the temporary location. Those files are not copied to any final directory. On slide number 14, we have listed out some comparison here. The directory for the location of the runtime log files for each of the servers is shown on this page. The log files appear under the specific profile of WASP version 6.1. In version 6.0, profile has one server, which represented one of the WPG components, receiver, console, or dock manager. In version 6.1, all the components are J2EE applications. Depending on what typology you chose to use for your installation, the values for profile name and server name change. For example, in simple mode, you have one profile with one server hosting all the applications. So you only have one profile name and one server name. However, in case of simple distributive, you have the deployment manager profile and the profile which hosts the WPG components. So in this case, in the simple distributed case, profile name value is the deployment manager profile name and the name of the profile hosting the application. On slide number 15, this slide shows the screen capture from the administrative console. In the configuration tab, you can provide the name of the log file, the format of log messages, file size, and the number of historical log files to maintain. Any changes made to the properties in the configuration tab on the screen are reflected in the next server startup. Please note, on the screen we put down the example of configuration tab. In about two slides later, we're going to show you another tab just so you will have some options there. On slide number 16, again, another comparison to help your usage. In version 6.0, WPG used log levels that are not related to the WAS server log levels. Since WPG version 6.1 uses the WAS server log levels, you can use this table to map the log level in version 6.0 to the appropriate level in version 6.1. One of them I'd like to highlight in particular is the debug level in version 6.0. In 6.1, it got changed to finance. On page 17, I would like to give it a recap. This slide will recap the required steps to change a login to the finance level for the most details in any error scenario. In other words, you will get the most verbose mode for you to do problem determination if you should run into any error scenario. First, you start the WAS administrative console. Next, click Troubleshooting and Logs and Trace. Select the server name and click on Change Log Level Details. Select the Runtime tab next. This is a tab that I was talking about earlier. Please note that changes made on the Runtime tab work on actively loaded modules once you press OK button and do not require a server restart. However, two pages previously, if you made changes on the Configuration tab, those changes will not take place until the application server is restarted. If all components have been enabled, please turn it off and then enable specific components by entering finance for info column, com.ibm.bcg, and those steps should be repeated for all the involved WPG servers. Slide number 18, this is the last page we have for login. We have put a sample logs text here. This sample log entry demonstrates different sections of a log entry. You can see we actually on your screen in your log file, you probably will not see this rainbow style. We have put in different colors to help you to understand different segments. When you read logs, please pay special attention to when the error occurred, because logs can be big and you got to narrow down to the time period. Logs will have some module names or codes that are not easily understood. So look for fields that can help you understand the problem, such as message type, thread ID, and class method, component, and the actual message text. As I mentioned, in this sample log text, we use different colors so you can kind of correlate to which part, from which character to which character, belong to what kind of segment for the message. In this particular example, the message type of E, you can see it's blue. It means error. Some other more common message types are A for audit, W for warning. There are a few more. This concludes my presentation for the login management and enablement. Next, I'm going to introduce the next speaker for the presentation. Siraj, thank you.
Thank you, Aishi. Hi, all. We will now discuss a selected list of known issues or problems and workarounds if there are any. We're now on slide 20. In WPG, we use the certificates for various security-related functions like encryption, signature, and SSL. When using a CSIN certificate for one of these security functions, each certificate in a cert chain must be uploaded into WPG. On the slide, it shows an image of a cert path, a cert chain. The cert chain is needed to allow a successful build of the cert path. If the entire cert chain is not uploaded into WPG, this might lead to cert path build errors. The slide shows a sample stack trace of one such instance of cert path build error. Users can disable the complete cert path build functionality by setting the property bcg.build_complete_cert_path to false. With this value, users need to load only the leaf and the immediate issue certificate. When this value is false, the cert path will be built only till the immediate issuer. Now on slide 21. The certificate authorities frequently publish a revocation list which lists the revoked certificates. The certificate contains the URL to retrieve these CRLs in its CRL distribution point element. In the image on the slide, I have highlighted the field containing the CRLDP URL. By default, WPG has the revocation check enabled to true. Inability to determine this revocation status will lead to errors. The slide shows a sample exception stack trace. If the URL cannot be reached by WPG during runtime, it's possible to pre-download these CRLs onto the WPG common file system in the folder security/CRL in the common file system. One can also disable the certification revocation check by setting the property bcg.checkRevocationStatus to false. The slide shows the WPG console image wherein these properties can be set. And now on slide 22, continuing with some more certificate user scenarios. Normally the issuer and the subject DN is used to build the cert path. from the leaf upwards to the issued certificate. But if the leaf certificate has the authority key and for extension, then it is used to build the third path. In the slide, I have shown images of a leaf and an issuer certificate. In these cases, the key ID attribute of the authority key identifier must have a value equal to the subject key identifier of the issuer certificate. I'll try to highlight this in the image. Absence of the key ID attribute leads to third path build errors. A sample of such an error is shown in the slide. IBM JDK has released a patch with APAR PK33715 to handle these types of certificates. With this APAR installed on your systems, certificates which do not have the key ID attribute will default to the issuer and the subject DN to build the cert path. And now on slide 23. WPG can work with MQ for backend integration either on the receiving side or as a sender. In WPG 6.0 for external integration with MQ products, while defining the queue connection factory or the queue definitions in the WAS admin console, improper configurations can cause errors. A very common error which is normally observed is shown in the slide. Since these queue connection factory and the queue definitions are done in the WAS, it warrants a WAS restart to get the configurations into effect. Other MQ providers like Sonic MQ can also be used for backend integration with WPG. These can be configured either as a new MQ provider in WAS or by way of using file bindings or JNDR lookup. I am now on slide 24. In WPG, under certain circumstances, documents may stack up in the gateway folder if, say, a gateway is in retry mode, that is, a gateway is performing retries. In this case, all the other threads of this particular gateway could be suspended. No other documents will be picked up for delivery by this gateway. Another reason why documents may stack up in the gateway is when, say, a gateway has auto queue arrears, and then any delivery failure on this gateway would set it to offline. Offline gateways would just queue the documents. Offline gateways then needs to be manually set to online to start the delivery. This preferably must be done once the error condition on the gateway has been resolved. In the slide, I show an image wherein the gateway has been turned offline and the documents are queued. I'm now on slide 25. We're going to talk about a few installed considerations. The group's GID and the user's ID, that is UID, on each system must match the corresponding IDs on all the other systems involved in a WPG setup. Insufficient permissions on the common file system might cause file I/O errors. One such sample exception is shown in the slide. While adding a new node to an existing WPG installation, one must keep the following in mind. Clocks on the existing node, the DMGR, and the machine where the new node is to be installed must match. DMGR must be able to resolve the hostname of the new node. These two are mandatory while adding a new node to an existing WPG installation. WPG Fixpack installers are meant for updating the WPG components that is the router, receiver, or the console components. One must not run the FP installer on systems having only the common file system or the mass server. Doing this might corrupt the files in the WPG installation. Please refer the tech note mentioned on the slide for more information on this. We are now on slide 26. This talks about the proxy support in WPG. WPG uses the HTTP tunneling method for its proxy support. It supports connection to a proxy server only on the HTTP port and not on the secure SSL port. Since WPG uses the tunneling method, all the proxy servers to be used with WPG must support the connect method. WPG provides following type of support with respect to proxy. It supports proxy only for HTTP and HTTPS protocols. The proxy support has not yet been extended to protocols like FTP or FTPS. WPG supports proxy server with authentication. The proxy definition as shown on the slide has the username and the password, and that's where the proxy server's authentication has to be specified. WPG also supports the SOX proxy server. We're now on slide 27. Timeouts can happen while sending data outbound to a partner from WPG. This could either be a write or a read timeout. Reasons for such timeouts might include huge data transfer or a slow network or even a slow response by the partner receiving the transmission from WPG. To accommodate such possible reasons for delays in sending data, one can increase the gateway connection timeout value, which is specified in the gateway definition page in the WPG console. I'm now on slide 28. Timeouts can also occur within WPG, mostly in case of synchronous response flows. HTTP return codes of 408 or 410 might be observed on the sender side or on the receiver hub respectively. The slide shows one such image wherein the sender hub receives a HTTP return code of 408, whereas the receiving hub has a return code of 410. These timeouts in synchronous flows normally happen because of the router taking a longer time to return back the response. To accommodate the delay in generating the response, one definitely has to tune the router on its performance. But apart from that, the HTTP target's maximum synchronous timeout value on the receiving WPG hub might also need to be tuned. So those were the list of common issues. So in summary, this presentation has guided you through the WPG support page with important tools to help determine problem determination yourself. We also tried to explain the WPG logging and its enablement to assist further in analyzing the cause of the error scenarios. We finished the presentation by discussing a selected list of known problems to save you time and to enhance the ease of use of WPG. Slide 30 shows some more additional resources and acknowledgements. We're now open to questions.
Thank you, Arita and Shiraz, for a great presentation. At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the website Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today. Thanks, Arita and Shiraz, for presenting today.